verses 13 through 18. Daniel chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready, at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in a symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning, furious furnace. And who is the God who would deliver you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning, furious furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up." May the God of glory bless the reading of his most holy word. Beloved one.
Thank you, Brother David, for reading the word of God. Let's bow our heads right now. Let's just quiet ourselves. It's been a blessing to worship. We have the Word of God before us. Let's ask God's help now as we study together. Let's pray. Father, we desire to continue to worship. Please direct our thoughts toward you. We've been reminded this morning, Father, of your care for us, the truth that you are our fortress, you are our strength. God, our hearts are glad in that truth. And God, our hearts are glad in you for who you are, for what you do. God, please protect our thinking right now and by your Spirit that is within your people, continue to direct our thoughts to you. Direct our affections toward you today, right now. And God, open our spiritual ears to you and what's before us in your word this morning. So we thank you for this great privilege. We look forward to what you will do. God, we know that you will be glorified as we humbly submit to you. We ask that that would be our response today. To you be glory. You deserve it, Father. May we honor you now. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. 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 Our proposition in this series of sermons is this, that God is always working to move his people to trust him. God's always working to move his people to trust him. And brothers and sisters, this truth moves through every part and parcel of our lives. God is constantly and God is continually working to move us to trust him, to depend upon him. And one of the most effective tools that God uses to accomplish this in our lives is trouble. I want you to think about trouble. Trouble comes in our lives in many forms, many varieties. It can be anything from a flat tire to a flooded basement to a persistent pain in our back to a moody coworker to a person who treats us like an enemy. This world and our lives are full of trouble. And I will guess this morning as we're gathered together today that every one of us who are here today can identify a part of our lives that we would label or that we could call trouble. And if not today, then tomorrow. Or the days to come. You see, folks, this world and our lives are full of trouble. But trouble is one of those tools that God uses to build our faith and to increase our trust in Him. Amen. We were in the book of Daniel last week, and as I continue just to look at some notes and look at some studies from the book of Daniel that I've done in the past, again, my thoughts, my attention went to the book of Daniel. So today, we're in Daniel chapter 3. And three Hebrew men are in trouble. But God's in the trouble. And folks, God is always in the trouble. And God's working in their lives. And from these Hebrew men, we will learn how to trust God in the midst of trouble. So let's ask and let's answer some questions from our text this morning. Let's learn about trusting God in trouble. The first question is this: what is the trouble? So look at Daniel chapter 3, and let me begin with verse 8. Daniel chapter 3, beginning with verse 8. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. And they spoke and they said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. So we ask ourselves this morning, well, what's happening here? It's a familiar passage, and I think that most of us know the details. But what does this have to do with these young Hebrew men? And why were they in trouble? Well, Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah were three young men from Judah. They had been carried away from their homeland by the Babylonian armies under King Nebuchadnezzar. This had also happened to a young Hebrew by the name of Daniel. Now, we perhaps know these three Hebrew men better by their Babylonian names, which are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And impressed by their qualities, King Nebuchadnezzar showed favor to them, and he arranged that all four of these Hebrew men would be trained in the ways of the Babylonians. They would be special servants in the government of Babylon. And this action by the king, it created great jealousy in the court of the king or among other officials of the king. The officials in Nebuchadnezzar's court, they began to take action to get rid of these Jewish men. When Nebuchadnezzar erected a huge golden image and declared that all must worship at its feet, an opportunity then was provided to get rid of these Hebrew men. One clear thing that the Babylonians had found out about Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego was that they took the worship of their God seriously. The Hebrews had one God, the true God, and He alone was given their worship. And so in order to promote unity in His kingdom, part of that decree by Nebuchadnezzar concerning that golden image was consequences if one failed to worship. So look at verse 6. Daniel chapter 3, verse 6. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. So these Chaldeans who were against the Hebrews serving in the Babylonian government now saw their opportunity, and they accused Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego of disloyalty and rebellion. Look at verse 12. Verse 12. These men have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. And as we heard earlier, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, flew into a rage and he ordered that the three Hebrew men be brought before him. If they would bow to this image, good, he says. But if not, they will be cast immediately into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And with this statement and with this action, Nebuchadnezzar even questioned the reality of their God. Look at verse 15. Verse 15. He says, "And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" What a choice. What a decision these men were faced with. And folks, it's a situation like this that brings your faith to the forefront of your life. Their answer is recorded very clearly in verse 18. Look at it with me, verse 18. They say, "But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." And with that answer, we might say that the furnace is lit. The furnace is prepared. Their answer guaranteed that they would now face awful, terrible, unspeakable pain and death for the sake of their God. This, brothers and sisters, is trouble. And it's trouble with a capital T. This is trouble. If we can learn anything from these Hebrew men this morning, up to this point in the passage, it is simply this, that they trusted God. These three men absolutely refused to be disloyal to their God. And even in the face of a most terrible, gruesome death, their trust in God did not waver. And one of the greatest descriptions of faith or trusting God can be found in their answer to King Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. I want you to notice now the description of faith in their words. First of all, they believed in the ability of God to deliver them. Look at verse 17. They say, "Our God is able to deliver us." Now, folks, I would say to you this morning, can we say these words when we face the fiery furnace in our lives? Our God is able to deliver us. Can we say these words like these three Hebrew men when we face the full weight of trouble in our lives, when we face those things that we call hardship or difficulty or persecution or affliction? You see, folks, we may all ascribe to God's ability to deliver us in general, but folks, it takes a real trust in God when the rubber meets the road or when the fire of the furnace is lit and it's burning and we begin to feel the heat of the furnace. You see, that's life. That's life. We need to bring this down to a personal level. Praise God for His Word. We look at His Word, but I'm afraid sometimes we look at it and our minds don't get engaged with what's happening and what's being said in the Word of God. We need to make this personal. And believe me, it was personal for these three Hebrew men. Ask these questions when you face trouble. Is God able to deliver me from this trouble? Am I willing to trust God? Am I willing to obey God's Word? See, the real question is God able? When we're in the midst of trouble, is God able to deliver me? And folks, whatever the obstacle or barrier or difficulty or challenge that you face, you have to answer this question because your life will be directed by your answer. These Hebrew men believed and trusted that God was able to deliver them. Now, there's a second truth. They also believed in the willingness of God to deliver them. Look at verse 17. They continue and they say, "And He will deliver us from your hand, O king." Every time I read that statement, this is where my mind goes. When they made that statement to the king, they didn't know how God would do that. They just were confident that God is able to deliver and God would deliver them. "He will deliver us from you. He'll deliver us from your hand, O king." Now, if you think about that, God could do something miraculous or they could die. And either way, they would be delivered from the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. But their confidence was that God could and God would deliver them. You see, many of us may believe that God can deliver us in time of trouble, but many of us are not confident that He will deliver us. And folks, we can be sure of this. God will work in our lives in the way that's best for us. God did deliver Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but in a way that they never, ever imagined. Now, at first, it even seemed that they would not be delivered at all. So trusting God is believing in God's willingness to deliver. There's a third truth. They also believed in the sovereignty of God. Look at verse 18. So they said, God will deliver us. And then verse 18, "But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." So they say simply, if our sovereign God chooses not to deliver us, we're still not going to worship this image. We will still worship our God. They recognized that it might not be God's purpose to deliver them in this way. And they also knew that if He did not, it would be because He had something better for them. Brothers and sisters, if God does not do what we expect, a true trust in God will not stumble. Our confidence and love will not be shaken. When I think about it, I think that's one of the things that we are really challenged with, even as we are relating to God. If we're in trouble or if we're in times of difficulty, we determine what will save us, or we determine how God can deliver us. And so we get certain expectations as to what God will do. And yet, let's remember, there's only one God, and we're not God. And therefore, it affects our response to God, and it affects our relationship with Him when we raise up these expectations and they're not met in our way. But let's remember, God is God. Trusting God is knowing God so well that we accept His sovereign will even when we don't understand it. And our loyalty to Him becomes more important than the things of life or even life itself. That's what we see in these three Hebrew men. Brothers and sisters, there will be trouble in your life. There will be. Your faith will be tested. And God, in His great love for you, will give you opportunity to trust Him in the midst of great trouble. Now, let's look at our passage, because there's more to learn from these three men. Here's the next question. Will they trust God? Will they trust God? When the fiery furnace comes into our lives, we're all faced with this question, will I trust God? Will I depend upon God? And that's exactly where these three Hebrews found themselves. And folks, trusting God is never easy. And it's never easy because we've said this over and over, but we're wired to trust ourselves. See, that's that sin nature within us. And so trusting God is not easy. But I want you to consider several characteristics of trusting God by these three Hebrew men. First of all, trusting God is a choice. Look at verse 15. Right in the middle of that verse. If you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Think about it, folks. It's either the high road or the low road. It's either toward God or away from God. That's the choice that they faced. And what was at stake was their life, their physical life. I mean, look at their choice. Either worship the king's image or burn in this fiery furnace. What a choice. See, I would say to you this morning that God's people have faced such choices through the years. Like bow to the emperor or be fed to the lions. Or deny the Lord or be boiled in oil. Stop preaching or be burned at the stake. Turn your back on God or face the consequences. You see, this has happened throughout the history of the church, throughout the history of God's people. And we face the same decisions. It may not be the same troubles, and it may not be the same consequences, but it's the same high road or low road. It's the same to God or away from God when we face those troubles. I mean, things that I've heard, stop telling the truth or I'll be mad at you. Or stop talking about God or I'll not associate with you. Or stop following Jesus or our relationship is finished. Or put self first or put God first. Or please man or please God. You see, we're always faced with these choices. And a true trust in God always chooses the road to God, whatever the cost. Now there's a second characteristic. Trusting God involves a risk. Look at verse 13. Trusting God involves a risk. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Folks, they worshiped God at the risk of their lives. Every time I study this passage, every time that I look at these words, then I have to step back and ask myself, if my life was in danger, if someone looked at me and they said, I'm going to take your life if you continue to worship God, then how would I respond? And you know, it's worth asking and answering that, isn't it? How would we respond if our lives would be taken if we continued to worship God? They worship God at the risk of their own lives. And folks, if no risk is involved, then no faith is necessary. That's one of those characteristics of faith and of trusting God. If we see the path ahead, then we walk by sight. And that's not faith, and that's not trusting God. There was a risk by these three Hebrews, and it was life or it was death. And we exercise faith when we trust God in spite of the risks. I think we often try to play it safe spiritually. But folks, there's always a risk in the pathway of faith. Always a risk in trusting God. There's a third characteristic of trusting God. Trusting God will encounter opposition. Look at verse 8. Go back to verse 8. And therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. You see, this pathway of faith, or this pathway of trusting God, is not covered with roses. It's a battlefield. It's marked with pain and suffering and loss. And we can think of example after example of how believers through the ages have moved from one test to another test. There's always a fight ahead. There's always a test to come. Brothers and sisters, that's the Christian life. I mean, don't ever think that the test will end while we live on this earth. Don't ever think that the troubles will end. I mean, I hate to bust your bubble, okay? That when you become a Christian, that everything just works out smooth. No, no, no. When you become a Christian, what happens is God says, I'm going to be with you in this trouble. And I'm going to help you work this out if you trust me. But the troubles come and the testings continue to come. That's the Christian life. That's the way it is. There's always a fight ahead. Abraham and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and David and the disciples and our own lives are clear evidence of an opposition to faith in God. And folks, think about it. The pathway of Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego led through enemies and kings and a fiery burning furnace. There is always opposition to our faith. And it can come from within us. And it can come from outside us. And it can even come from those who are the closest to us in our lives. Amen. You see, there's always opposition. I put this together. Trusting God then is demanding. Trusting God is not easy. And there will be choices and there will be risks and there will be opposition. And remember, through it all, God is moving us to trust Him. There's a third question. How were they delivered? How were they delivered? Look at verse 21. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. Now I ask you, when you read that statement, does that sound like deliverance? Does that sound like rescue? They were picked up and they were thrown into that burning furnace. Two truths here to learn from these Hebrew young men. First of all, deliverance from trouble is not necessarily our highest good. Now let me explain it. God did not deliver these three men from the fiery furnace, but He did deliver them in the fiery furnace. See, we need to get away from the idea that deliverance from trial and trouble is the highest spiritual blessing, but the greatest spiritual blessing is trusting God in the midst of the trouble. And this truth runs throughout Scripture. Daniel was thrown in to the lion's den. Paul was stoned and shipwrecked and locked in prison. Our Lord was crucified on the cross. And the fact is, folks, we learn more in the fiery furnace than out of the fiery furnace. And when we come through it, our God is closer and our faith is stronger. You see, deliverance from trouble is not necessarily our highest good. Those men were thrown into the furnace. And then a second truth. God's deliverance is often unequal. Now what I mean by that is this, that God may treat you different than He treats me. See, God does not treat us alike. Why? Because He knows us and He understands us and He made us and we're different. And you know what that means, folks? That means that your trouble is going to look different than my trouble. See, it means that what you face will be different than what I face. But God's in it. God's working in it. See, some people are offended and some people are puzzled by the way that God treats them and not others. Well, these three Hebrew men, they were not concerned with God's treatment of others. They looked no further than themselves. Look at verse 17. They're speaking to the king and they say, if that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. Folks, if you look at others in the midst of trouble, there's going to be more trouble. If you look at others and how God operates in their lives and you begin to compare, then be careful, because God deals with us as individuals. He knows what we need. He knows our hearts. And He knows what I need to trust Him. And He knows what you need to trust Him. And that's going to look different in my life than your life. We're all different. And God works with us differently. God delivers some from trouble. And God delivers others in the trouble. And whatever God does, we can be sure that He does the best thing for us and for His glory. Amen. And then finally, final question. What are the blessings of trusting God? What are the blessings of trusting God? So trusting God never goes without reward or blessing. It pleases God when we trust Him. It pleases and honors Him when we depend upon Him. As a matter of fact, folks, that's why He made us. He made us to trust Him. He made us to depend upon Him. So God blessed the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How? First of all, they enjoyed companionship with the Son of God. Look at verse 25. Look, he answered, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they're not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Three men were thrown into the fire. There are not now three persons in the fire. Folks, in the furnace of affliction, the Lord always draws near. And it was not until they were in the midst of the fire that the Lord joined them. It doesn't mean that He wasn't with them, but the Lord joined them. The Lord was with them in the midst of that fire. They trusted God, and God responded. He was right there with them. I will say to you that some of the most blessed times that I've enjoyed with the Lord have been in the midst of the most difficult spiritual battles. Notice second, that they experienced control of the flames. Look at verse 27. And the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. Folks, get this. God controlled the fire. I mean, God controlled it specifically. He saved their lives, but God even controlled it in such a way that specific things were burned in the fire and other things were not touched. Their bindings or their bonds were burnt, but there were no burns, no singes, not even the smell of smoke. And every time I read it, I shake my head, because as an old firefighter, Brother Eric, you know exactly what I'm talking about. When you fight a fire, you can take a shower, you can clean up, but you smell like smoke for hours. You can smell that smoke. And the Word of God says here that they were not burned, they were not singed, not even the smell of smoke was on these men. And the flames freed them to have fellowship with the Son of God. They walked in the midst of the flames. with the Son of God. God allowed the flames of testing and trouble to bring freedom with the Lord. They walked in the midst of the fire with the Son of God. And then finally, number three, they witnessed a great confession of God's power. Look at verse 28. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." Is that right? Is that true? That King Nebuchadnezzar said that? This was the same Nebuchadnezzar who said in verse 15, "Who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" And now that same king says, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him." Do you see that, folks? Nebuchadnezzar saw the faith and he saw the trust and the dependence of these men. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. And therefore I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. Brothers and sisters, that's Nebuchadnezzar. That's Nebuchadnezzar who's saying that. And then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Everyone around these three Hebrews witnessed the vindication of their faith. What a testimony from these men. Their trust in God affected everyone around them. God was honored and glorified even by Nebuchadnezzar. And by the hands of the king who had rejected God, the enemies of God's servants were put to death. And God's servants, these Hebrew men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were promoted within the kingdom. And the servants of the one true God would gain respect and honor in this pagan kingdom, and God would use these young men, including Daniel, and their favor with kings to eventually bring Israel back to the land of promise. And get this now, future generations would be affected by these three men who trusted God. And I would submit to you that everyone who sits in this room today is influenced by these three Hebrew men who trusted God. You see, folks, when we trust God, it affects other people. Amen. It influences other people. And we may not see it immediately. We may not even see it or experience it in this life, but there will be blessings and delights and benefits to us and to many others through our trust in the true and living God. Amen. In our lives, the fires of trouble will come. There's always an idol that demands our worship. There's always a king that demands our allegiance. There's always an enemy that desires to crush our spiritual lives. And brothers and sisters, when the fiery furnace comes, whether great or small, how will you respond? The words of Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego should ring in our ears. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us from your hand, O King. But if not, let it be known to you, O King, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image that you have set up. They trusted God in trouble. Will we? Let's bow our heads.